Got it.
Here we go on a Tuesday. If you're staying home and listening to Cairo Radio, good for you. Before Tom gets in here, by the way, Andrew, I got a warning for you. We're doing a story about Hamilton, the Broadway show. So just going to warn you now that when Tom begins to sing a Broadway show tune, I'm going to ask you to cut his microphone.
Hey, Tom, welcome to the show.
Alexander Hamilton.
Wait a minute. You weren't supposed to hear me. Did you hear what I said?
Oh, but I know. I'm anticipating. I know what's on the docket. Alexander Hamilton. Born a bastard. I forget what the rest of it goes.
I was waiting for you to start singing again. Yeah. All right, here we go. The deep freeze making icy commutes, potentially significant snowstorm headed our way on Friday. Oh, my goodness gracious. How about this, huh? More snow? Do we know it's a lot of snow?
Yes, snow. So right now, between now and look at the sun's coming out, it's going to get up to a bubbly 30 degrees today.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. By tomorrow, maybe 40. But then there's going to be another big snowstorm, bigger than the one we just had, Friday night or Saturday morning.
You know,
so we're in for a
Did you get the feeling that they downplayed it a little bit because they didn't want to get caught with their pants down like they did before?
I do not think that they thought that far ahead. I think they were a bit caught with their pants down.
No, I think they held back. Because remember the couple other times it was, big storm.
That's right.
Come, and then we made fun of him, and now he'll never come on our show again.
Yes, I remember that guy. Yeah, whatever happened to him?
We made fun of him. He got something wrong. So,
It did catch all of us off guard because we were so focused on the tunnel, we missed the snowstorm that was going to trump the tunnel.
That's what they do to you. They get you focused on the tunnel,
and you miss
the snowstorm.
It's like magic.
But UW meteorologist Cliff Mass, who's got a great voice, by the way, explains why the Midwest and the East Coast have an easier time dealing with snow than we do.
They have snow that falls. Generally, the temperatures are cooler when they have snow, so it tends to be this fluffy, powdery snow. And so the snow piles up, and they get a lot of snow. But typically, there's not an ice layer because the roadways are below freezing. So, you know, they have lots of snow, but it's pretty easy to remove, and you generally don't get this ice layer, which makes it miserable around here.
Because it's so cold there, they don't get the ice layer. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it's also because the stuff is lighter. There's not as much moisture in the snow, so you just push it away.
Because
you do get a lot of it.
Colder.
But it's sometimes, I mean, having lived there, and when we were, it's funny because the other day, I realized, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it in on Monday. What we used to do back in the East Coast at CBS and stuff, if there was weather, bad weather in the forecast, they put us all up in a hotel on Sunday night.
Yeah, that's happened here.
Yeah, right, right. And then you would just be able to walk to work so that everybody's ready to go. All right, Tori Ranner, King County Metro, says it was a tough day for buses.
At one point, we had 175 buses that were temporarily stuck due to hills, slick road conditions, or stuck behind cars and so forth. That's the first area that's difficult to serve. So if a rider normally catches a bus on a hill, walk to the bottom of the hill to catch that bus.
Hey, by the way, do they have chains on those buses? That thing was stuck out front here for 5 hours.
Some do, some can. I haven't seen many this time out, but
Here's some snow advice, how to drive in the snow from Washington State Trooper.
Don't slam on the brakes. That's one of the worst things that you can do. Actually, we want drivers to come up off of the gas, look in the direction that you want to go, steer that car in the direction that you want to go. You want to keep your tires rolling. That keeps that rolling friction. Once you feel your tires starting to regain traction, slowly apply the gas, and hopefully that'll keep you on the road and on to your destination.
My dad did when we were 16 years old, and first big snowfall hit, he took us all into a parking lot at the Acme supermarket. And he had us drive in there and then have us jam on the brakes to feel what it felt like to have the car skid and then get it going again and then always steering in the direction of the skid, pumping the brakes, all that other stuff. So you get some idea, this is what the car feels like in the snow. But to be out there driving in it, and you realize, oh, my gosh, I hit the brake and the back end starts to slip and then you panic. That's what it seemed like. One person who's overly confident causes the problem for everybody else. And again, we get a chance to practice again on Friday. Do we have any idea how much snow is coming?
No, but they said, again, it's anticipatory, so they don't want to make too much of it because, John, they don't want to look like they're fear-mongers.
Mm-hmm.
But they do say it could be bigger than this last one.
I remember
not till Friday night.
Knowing nothing about the weather, but just knowing people didn't really want a science lesson. They just wanted the weather. As the weatherman, Emmy Award winner, by the way.
Emmy Award winning weatherman who doesn't know much about the weather.
I knew that people didn't.
You are a marvel, Mr. Curley.
Tom, I am just a messenger. Right? Okay, so when I would watch all the other stations.
Messenger. Oh, you'd watch all the other stations?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That's where I got my weather from. And I'd see that Bob Roberts, whatever his name was like, looks like 4 to 6 inches could be blanketing the metro area. I'd be like, 4 to 6. He's going 4 to 6. What's old Topper Shutt saying? And then I look on the, Topper's going to go 5 to 8. I'm like, you know what?
Split the difference.
No, I'm going out. I'm going big.
Going big.
I'd be like 6 to 10. And John Curley, weatherman, says that looks anywhere between 6 and 14 inches of snow could be fine. I just covered my bases. Yeah. Big bet all the way across, right? Can't go wrong. Yeah, I'd watch those other guys.
Yeah,
I see them.
Funny.
Oh, you weakling. 4 to 6? Come on, you could do better than that. All right, let's see.
I know. Do we really need 3, 4, 5 local weathermen? It seems to me. Just get one good shot. Why do you have all these weathermen on all these various stations when you can just go to the National Weather Service?
What, just get that guy?
Yeah, why not?
Because people like the weatherman.
For reasons other than the weather. That's what I think is odd. It's
I used to have weather. I had heard a story about a weatherman that got sued in Ohio because he said no rain. So that he said, well, no rain this weekend. So then the woman canceled the catering tent for the 80 guests to her daughter's wedding. And they called the weatherman and they sued the weatherman for the damage that was done to the dress and the cake and everything else. And the guy's like, he actually had to testify. And he had an attorney and said, look, I can't be held responsible for this stuff. So I told my brother the story.
Yeah.
So as a joke, he wrote up a legal disclaimer. So whenever I would go to give the 5-day forecast, it would come up, scroll up in front of the screen that this is only an artist rendering in the days to come.
Yeah.
Whoever man, family, and friends cannot be held for responsibility of accuracy or inaccuracy of the forecast. Make no plans according to this individual. He has a high school degree and that is it. All right.
And we was fortunate to get that.
Zip that thing right on by. Homeless shelters in Seattle expanding. Of course, as the freeze sets in, the Seattle Times has a story just where you end up going when it gets cold. And they're sending more navigation folks out there into tents to make sure that no one's dying.
Not quite. That was there's a lot of – we are opening all the places at the Armory. And, I mean, all these places that normally are full up, they're finding like, third floor sections that they can open up. So it really is great that we're responding so successfully. But my favorite line in the entire Project Homeless story in the Seattle Times was – Seattle's navigation team, the big thing that we're so proud of,
an outreach
group that regularly visits the city's hundreds of unauthorized encampments, couldn't operate Monday because not enough team members were able to get into work.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, they also cut the budget on it, so they're pulling back on it. But, yeah, there's two cops or something, and then there's... Were they 23 people all together on the navigation site?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. All right, let's see. State of the Union is going to be happening tonight. I don't know how many people tune into this thing, but the president, after some back and forth, after the shutdown, and Nancy Pelosi says, you're not coming to my house. Now he will deliver the State of the Union.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the speech. The only thing I saw written by some conservatives said, gosh, don't let that guy Miller write it.
Stephen Miller.
I think Miller's going to be all over this
Stephen Miller is the hardliner when it comes to immigration policy. He's probably more
He's like
behind,
America First guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably stronger on the border wall than Trump himself is.
He's like Wilson. Let's see. Here's what Trump said he was going to talk about the State of the Union when he was asked last week.
I think it's unification. I think it's industry. I think it's about the people that you see right here. It's also working with these people because they've been incredible. We have had some incredible report, and we've had incredible Republican support.
About what?
Just about the wall, right? About the immigration policy, everything?
He was with business leaders, but that's all.
Remember that when the Republicans had complete control of both houses, they didn't pass any money for the wall. That's what's bizarre about it.
Right. And when you guys had complete control of both houses as well, you didn't do any immigration either.
We got Obamacare in, though. That was worth it.
Right. No votes from the Republicans. And how well is Obamacare doing? John. Bringing price down?
It's more popular now than it ever has
is
been,
bringing
John.
The prices down?
Yeah, considering where it could have been.
Could have been.
Yeah.
But it has gone up because we were promised it would go down.
If you guys hadn't gutted it. The Republicans ended up gutting it so much that now you don't even have to pay the penalty. Mm-hmm. So it's like it doesn't have a funding structure that's going to survive.
Was the price going down prior to the Republicans changing the funding structure? Was the price going down or up on people's premiums?
Because the Republicans fought it every step of the way.
Prior to that.
Well, the thing is that I think they said it was going to take 3 years before the markets adjusted. So that was expected, but ultimately was going to bring it down.
You have 20 million people signed up. That's it. You haven't moved the needle. Kellyanne Conway spoke to reporters about what's expected. Boy, Conway got beaten up today on CNN. Did you see that?
No. You mean in a Q&A?
Yeah. It was brutal. Oh. Yeah. Oh, but Jacob doesn't find that because he's got something for Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, that's right.
He's calling for cooperation.
She's a
robot. Look on Mediaite. She got whacked.
And he's calling for comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y, and also compromise. And is going to point out a couple of examples where this has actually happened on his watch. I think it's also an address that celebrates so many accomplishments for the United States of America that he would like to highlight as the leader of our nation.
Okay, yeah. He's going to run through a big thing about 304,000 jobs in January, 3.2% wage increase overall, 3% plus better with the GDP. He's going to run through all the economics of stuff. He's going to give you all of that, talk about the tax cut, capital gains cut, all that other. And then he's going to do the thing is that what people want him to do is let the dreamers all in, the kids of cheaters. If he were to hand that in there and says, you know what? If you were a kid, came in the last 5 years, we're going to work this out, and you're all in here, and you're going to, in 10 years, get citizenship, right? If he were to do that, everybody stands up, right? And then does Nancy Pelosi stand up? Because she's sitting right behind him. Does she?
Well, it depends on how ironclad that offer is. My hunch is she won't, and the Democrats won't because they don't trust him, because he said things in the past that he's agreed to with Nancy and Chuck, as he used to call them, and then, you know, withdrew. So I don't think they're going to fully endorse until they see it written in stone.
This might be where Conway gets whacked. This is from an NPR reporter asking about the sixth grader that's been invited. So the kid is
Joshua.
A sixth grader, right? Joshua Trump, and he's been getting a lot of guff because of his last name. I think his parents switched schools, and he will be up there for the president to be able to go, and you know, look at this kid up here.
We're certainly happy that Joshua Trump is coming. His story is really tugs at the heartstrings of anybody, but particularly those of us like me who have school-age children.
Will the president apologize for how he has used the internet to bully people?
The president uses his considerable media platforms to cut through the middlemen who don't always tell the truth about his record.
Yeah. That's weird that she uses the term bullying.
Yeah.
A kid is in sixth grade, right? And he's getting beaten up and bullied because of his last name. Donald Trump does go after people, and he is rude, and he is inconsiderate to their feelings. But these are adults going back and forth. He's being called an idiot. He's saying that he's incompetent. So then he goes after Rex Tillerson. And, you know, it's juvenile, but it's at least on the adult level of juvenile behavior, right? So the question is, she wants to compare what Trump does. She wants to compare what Trump does to what a sixth grader dealt with when
Sixth grader dealt with other sixth graders. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought of it that way until you raise it. Like, it's adult vilification is a kind of a bullying, and then you've got it at the sixth grade level.
I would have invited the kid that had the drum played in his face. I would have brought that kid in.
Oh, no.
That would have been that would have been great.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, if you want to, if the idea is a kind of
Those that have stood up for the hats.
Even people that are on his side of the ledger, even MAGA hat people, I think, do not want to see him as a symbol. The thing is that he is at best, if you're on the right, he was wronged. But to actually argue that he is an emblem of what we want, I think that might be going a bridge too far.
Well, death threats against him?
There's no. I don't know what you mean by death threats. You mean online death threats? Yeah. Everybody who doesn't have online death threats.
Okay, good. We will diminish online death threats. three reasons the State of the Union doesn't matter. 538 does the piece. Normally, it used to be that it would just be sort of a laundry list of all the stuff that I'd like.
That's normally what it is. It's a proposal for legislation.
Right.
And what 538 does is suggest, does it ever move the needle? No. It might move the needle 1 or 2 points up or 1 or 2 points down. They look at like the last 50 and they say, yeah, it doesn't really mean anything. And they said, let's create a best case scenario where Donald Trump's approval rating goes up 5% in the next month. I mean, you know, in this next week.
Yeah.
Even that, they say, is probably not because of the speech. It's just that because he had such a deep dive during the shutdown that he could easily, just in the normal course of events, pick up 5%. So they are really kind of backing off this idea that this means anything in the long run for a legislative agenda. Finally, they do say, though, that the reason it's still a good thing, even though it's not an effective political tool, is because at least he's doing it. at least there is a time when everybody in Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, and as many people in the country that want to, can hear directly from the president. They say, so that's a tradition worth honoring, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't really move things politically. And by the way, one last thing on the speech itself. Yeah. The big question is it going to be partisan or bipartisan? Because the few things that have been leaked about his State of the Union speech tonight is that he's going to call for unity. We can all work together. The question is, though, because he's so good at throwing darts, mm-hmm. will that be the overall tone, or will that be one of those, hey, let's all work together, and then you Democrats better get right on that? You know, it'll be interesting to see how well he plays, and does he go after Nancy Pelosi, or is he respectful of Nancy Pelosi? It'll be kind of interesting just in terms of tenor and tone more than substance.
Yeah, well, listen, for the time he got elected, right, or even the nomination, right now, probably elected, nobody thought he was going to win. The folks weren't going to give him any chance, right? Resistance right away, and everybody was marching and setting things on fire the day he's inaugurated.
Just like Republicans with Obama.
Actually, you know what? The Republicans with Obama, the comment by Mitch McConnell actually happened 18 months after he was in office. So what had happened was a bunch of various things that occurred. It wasn't Obama went in, and then the next day you had Mitch McConnell, or even the day before, saying we're going to make him a one-term president. It was 18 months. So that's
18
important.
Months before he made that statement.
No, Obama got office, and then Mitch McConnell, 18 months later, after a whole bunch of stuff that Obama is doing, Mitch McConnell, after trying to work with Obama regarding the budget and some other things, said our thing is going to make him a one term.
Yes.
So it wasn't like he came in that day and was said that day.
Okay, nice.
The difference being this, Donald Trump takes office and you have a thing called the resistance, which is being supported by Obama's people and everybody else rising up. So how many people really wanted to work with Donald Trump on the day that he was nominated?
Not even the Republicans wanted to work with him because he was so far outside the mainstream of Republican thought.
Well, there was enough Republicans that worked with him that you get the tax cut put
in place. That was, talk about 18 months. That was the one thing they did at the very end. They lost everything. The big deal was going to be on Obamacare, and they couldn't even agree on Obamacare. They had 8 years in the wilderness to come up with a plan, and they
couldn't
even
agree.
So how many
Democrats gave him a chance the day he was nominated?
I don't know what you mean. We were all for him. In fact, remember, he had an agreement with infrastructure with Nancy and Chuck Sheehy, he said. And then that blew up because the Republicans said, we're not playing. I think Republicans were more resistant to Trump's agenda than the Democrats were because right off the bat, he said, I'm going to work. He thought that he could work with the Democrats mm-hmm. to get the Republicans on board, and he realized that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, everybody loves infrastructure because it's money being spent by the federal government and given to unions. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Apparently not the Republicans.
Oh, they believe in that kind of waste. Laura's Home Loans. Thanks, Laura Keel, for all the great work that you do when it comes to mortgages. If you need a mortgage or you want to do a VA loan or maybe you want to get yourself a second, take some of that equity out of that house, why not? Call in touch. Get in touch with Laura Keel, 833-ASK-LAURA, 833-ASK-LAURA. All right, Facebook, Tom, neither you nor I, big friends of Facebook. But it says, where friendships never go to die is the piece in the Atlantic. And I'm going to throw in this into the soup of conversation as we kick this around. Is a study was done in the UK, and they found, because when you petition for a divorce in the UK, you have to put down the reason.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of people putting down reasons included Facebook for the primary reason for the divorce?
I can imagine why Facebook would be, because you're contacting
old
lovers or something. Mm-hmm. So I'd say 15%.
It's 33%.
33%.
Blame Facebook. Twitter is very, very small. It's only about 2 or 3%. But most people say Facebook.
Yeah.
Caught my wife on there, got in touch with her old boyfriend from high school, and then went back and forth. Or somebody on Facebook posted pictures of me, which then caused problems. So then,
Sure.
Yeah. So Facebook,
kind of like Big Brother.
Yes.
You can keep track of people, or people can keep track of you, and that you don't want to be kept track of, and vice versa. You always hear about people saying, oh, I really had a crush on her in college or high school. I'm going to wonder what she's up to, or maybe we dated. It's a way to contact old flames. Mm-hmm. And so
you can track down anybody.
Yeah, just about.
Yep, they're all there.
I suppose there are a few who never even signed up, but... Okay, so this the idea of where friendships go to never die. My favorite part about this whole article is this Harry Potter phenomenon, which I'm vaguely aware of Harry Potter. I think I would run of the novels, but this idea of unicorn blood, that there apparently that if you drink the blood of a unicorn, it's going to keep you alive.
Yes.
However, as they say, survival comes at a terrible price. You will have but a half-life. it's sort of a cursed life. You're not going to be, you're going to be half the person you were, but at least you'll be able to linger. And they said that's sort of what's happening with Facebook. Most of us, when we sign on for Facebook, by the way, Facebook's been around for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I would guess most people probably have been on it for at least a decade now. The idea is who you were friends with or Facebook friends with 10 years ago or even 15 years ago, there's a good chance that at least half of them you probably haven't contacted mm-hmm. for 4 or 5 years. And yet, because they're in effect in the data bank of Facebook, they'll pop up. Hey, you know this, I don't know if you get these, John, but hey, you know, it's your friendversary today. That 7 years ago, you and Ron Upshaw, you know, became mm-hmm. Facebook friends. It's Ooh. That kind of stuff. Ron, I'm a Facebook friend of Ron Upshaw.
Oh, okay.
And so it just kind of reminded me, like, wow, boy, does time fly. Uh-huh. Well, a lot of these friendversaries are with people I have no contact with anymore, and I don't even know, I didn't know who they were in the first place, barely. And so they say, the danger of this is that you end up clogging up your Facebook with all sorts of reminders about people that you just as soon forget, mm-hmm. and there's no way to forget them. You know how you have what do they call it? The freedom to be forgotten bill in Europe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In Facebook, there's no way to unforget all of these people. You can drop them off Facebook, but they will always be in that database.
Mm-hmm.
Here they say the one good thing is that because these people are no longer your friends, but they are contacts, if you are in need of something that you don't know much about, for instance, you know, some medical thing maybe, you go to all your friends, even if they don't know you, say, hey, you know, I just screwed up my knee, or I just had, mm-hmm. you know, I just was diagnosed with this or that. Any ideas out there about how I should go about it? Then maybe that big group of friends that are barely know who you are will offer you advice. And so that's
imagine that free process. Advice from Facebook. Mm-hmm. The average person on Facebook has 150 friends, but when asked to sort of drill down, they really only mm-hmm. are in contact with five of them. A woman back from 2010 to 2015, she decided to put to a test how many friends she really had. So she took her entire list of Facebook people that were her quote-unquote friends, and she went to their houses.
Go ahead. Yes.
She tracked them down and photographed all her Facebook contacts. Despite never having met them in real life, the photographer, the woman, Hollerder, her name is, found out she was welcomed in 95% of the homes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, that's
of her 600 media contact connections. So she went to 600 homes. Almost three quarters even offered her a meal or a place to stay for the night or the weekend. The project exploration friendships, the effect of social networks, and the intimate places we call home and community in which we all live, she wrote in her Facebook portrayal project.
Wow. Now, that goes counter to the suggestion in this particular article, which is most people who are friends on Facebook and Facebook only aren't really friends. And if you try to take it from the Facebook friendship world to a different platform, that can be very unsettling. If all of a sudden, you know, somebody DMs you mm-hmm. and you only have communicated through Facebook, or if they email you or they call you, you go, bing, ding, there are all sorts of alarm bells going off because this is not the idea is that if you really are friends with people, you'll be friends with people on multiple platforms. Most of us that are Facebook friends are only Facebook friends and no other kind of platform friends.
But if you showed up, she says, I've learned about human kindness and compassion. I continue to be surprised the number of people, especially real life, total strangers who would open their homes to me, offer me a place to stay. So she wouldn't call ahead. She would just show up.
Okay.
But the thing is that if you... One time I rode from here to Sturgis, and there was I don't know how many stops I made along the way. I did this at the mountain, the radio station in the mountain. So I called the mayors of all those small towns that I was going to stop in, and we got them on the phone, and I said, can I stay at your house?
Yeah.
And they all agreed to let me stay at their house.
Yeah.
The thing
That's
is
because it, nothing's happening between here and Sturgis, so that was probably the highlight of their life. Hey, a local celebrity, at least in Seattle, is going to stay in my town of Podunk, Montana.
They all agreed.
Oh, that's cool, though.
It's... She would probably, knocking at the door, I don't know if she contacted him ahead of time, but if somebody just knocked at your door and said to you, hey, Tom, I'm a Facebook friend of yours. Can I come in and say hi? Would you welcome the person into your house?
I'd be a little hesitant at first.
You'd judge them upon a series of biases that you have, like, are they dressed well? Do they seem shady? Can I trust them? Is that chainsaw running or not running?
No, I would basically ask him, are you a friend of John Curley's?
filter you're running through.
If they were actually a Facebook, I'd say, hey, just a second. I'd go to my Facebook account for the first time in 5 years and see if they really were a friend. And if I couldn't find them, I'd say, hey, I know John Curley's home address.
And you're like, hold on a second. What? I can't remember my password.
Oh, that's true, too.
By the way, women traveling alone will be spied on by Marriott. When Marriott Hotels was asked, is this true? Are you really spying on your guests? And they said,
yes! And we're so proud of ourselves. Because you know what we're doing? Ladies and gentlemen, we're stopping sex trafficking. You know all those poor, forlorn girls that are trafficked around the world? We're going to stop that by spying on every single individual woman or a woman who books herself into a room alone.
Yes.
We are going to spy on her to make sure that she's not part of sex trafficking operations around the world.
Right. We have trained our staff.
Yeah.
If a woman is sitting in the bar by herself having a drink, we are going to be watching her and we will report to the federal government.
This was first indicated. Somebody suggested this was happening at Marriott and everyone expected Marriott to say
No,
we don't do that. Instead, they sent out a tweet and said yes, and they patted themselves on the back. After this stirred up some controversy, they decided to delete that tweet, and now they're not saying anything.
Uh-huh.
And Reason.com, which is the libertarians, you know, Bible practically,
yes. Uh-huh.
their whole pitch is that this is amazing, that we use things like Homeland Security uses this a lot in order to stop terrorism and or sex trafficking, we can abridge every single civil rights imaginable to mankind because we're doing it under this ruse that we're doing something else. And
right.
The thrust of this article, again, remember it's from a libertarian point of view, and so it's an opinionated take, but it's like, those are myths. That is a cover for all sorts of untoward behavior. And he says, and the ultimate trick about this is what Marriott's doing doesn't even help stopping sex trafficking. That it's just a ruse to be able to spy on people with impunity.
So you'll be able to, why not? There's probably cameras there. So you're sitting at the bar by yourself having a drink and you're female. They take a picture of you, and then do they eventually maybe possibly turn that over to the federal government to have them run that through a database or put you in there and then see if you show up at other hotels and drink by yourself? Wow.
Not only
thank
did they
you, Marriott.
Delete...
Hey, thanks, federal government.
Yeah, the thing is, it's probably not just Marriott. That's the problem. They say that they've worked with all sorts of airlines do this for them. I mean, they're working with the government to spy on us. And if you're concerned about Big Brother, this is a reason to be
worse
concerned.
Worse than Iran. They treat women. Or Saudi Arabia. We'll come back. We'll talk about the fact that a woman actually sees a ghost. Or she talks to the ghost.
Yeah. Talking.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. We'll actually have the audio, too.
Oh.
And you can decide for yourself. It's not one of those. It's a good one. It's not this one's crazy ghost.
Okay.
Online Trading Academy text line 98973. See how they did that? 98973. You can write to us on Online Trading Academy text line. You can also come through the Tom and Curly Facebook page. There we go. And watch yourself as you're going through that door, Tom. Because what?
I forget.
Cobwebs, remember?
Oh, cobwebs. That's right.
And also the MyNorthwest.com. Write to us as well. All right. Good. And people have been writing. It's nice to see. Sparked the indignation of...
A couple of people.
How about that?
You can go to the Facebook page and watch the video of the John Curley pizza if you haven't already.
Was that a failure?
I don't know. We got our money's worth.
Yeah, you did. $77. Andrew, by the way, can I just say something to you?
Okay.
You know, screw you. Okay, the guy, here I am promoting Pagliacci, and then the guy's like, yeah, you got to order three. And then you give the guy my credit card. It cost me $77. To bring in three pizzas because my name is on it.
You told me to get a pizza.
Yeah,
and
but at that point,
you
should have put
three.
The guy on a hold and said, hold on a second. Hey, John, they want to charge you $77 to deliver three pizzas with your name on it.
I couldn't put the guy on hold.
Right on through. Oh, let me give you the last four digits of the Social Security number. What'd you tip him?
Didn't tip him.
Oh, no. Your reputation is worse. John Curley isn't the tipper.
It's more upsetting than the 77. Oh, my God.
Your reputation will never recover,
jeez.
Mr. Curley.
All right, well, bad on both sides. Guess what time it is?
It's time for us to apologize.
Time for you to apologize. Don't you dragging me down.
She was.
All right, there's a woman, Tom, who's got a bit of a problem. Well, not anymore. She's had to move into her roommate's bed because it's something scary happened.
Since I've been living here, I've been like having pieces of clothes missing, like shirts, pants,
items disappearing and prints left behind.
Ooh. I have a handprint on my bathroom wall, like, and on my mirror.
But it wasn't until Saturday that Maddie, a junior at UNCG, uncovered a mystery that she and her roommates thought was a ghost.
And I just hear rattling in my closet, like it sounds like a raccoon is in my closet. Put my hand on the knob.
Music,
I'm like, who's in here? And if somebody answers me, he's like, oh, my name's Drew. So I open the door, and he's in there wearing all of my clothes, my socks, my shoes, has a book bag full of my clothes.
Police say that was 30-year-old Andrew Swafford. Maddie called her boyfriend, and as she calmly waited for help, she talked with Swafford to keep him distracted.
After he tries on my hat, goes to my bathroom, looks in the mirror. He asks, like, he was like, you're really pretty, can I hug you? But he never touched me.
The big question the girls are trying to get answered, how he got inside.
Yes.
They tell me their doors are always locked and they did not see any damage to them. But what really scares the girls is that men have entered their apartment before.
It was two guys in the living room.
That was December 19th. The girls alerted the leasing office. An employee confirmed they changed the locks at that time, but did not file a police report.
And forgot to close the window.
I was told that is standard protocol. But Maddie and her roommate say they can't take it anymore.
Last night, I did not feel safe. I slept with my roommate in her bed. I can't stay here. Like, my closet, it stinks. Every time I go in there, it's like, I just, like, it's a bad vibe. That's why I'm ready to just leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, are you in my closet? What do you say? Yeah, hi, I'm Drew.
Yeah, I'm Drew. I'm a 30-year-old guy wearing your clothes and living in your closet. Any problems? I'll try to make sure I don't leave footprints and handprints in your bathroom anymore.
By the way, you're pretty. And how's this top look on me?
No.
She could have made something good out of it.
Yeah.
Could have helped. How many times do you need somebody to help you get dressed in the morning? Drew would have been there for you.
As often as...
I'm wearing those slacks today, sweetie.
TV reports need your background music. It makes it infinitely more interesting.